You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, we have Dr. W.J. Moon, a professor at Asbury Theological Seminary. He is a professor of evangelism and church planting and director of the Office of Faith, Work, and Economics there. He has published 6 books and edited another 7. He's a very busy man, past president of the Great Commission Research Network, very involved in evangelism, was a missionary in West Africa for over 13 years. So, Jay, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Wow, thank you, Eddie. It's great to be with you here and look forward to our time together.
Hey, if I'm going to have you on the Better Together podcast, I've got to ask you about what in the world is happening in Asbury. What I know you've been on sabbatical, but tell us what's been going on over the last couple of weeks there.
Yeah, well, this has been a great breath of fresh air. It has just kind of reminded everybody why we're in ministry and why we're doing what we do. It actually started rather serendipitously. The guy that gave the chapel message on a regular day, at the end of it, he texted his wife and said, "You know, I just laid a stinker out there and it wasn't any good, so I'll be home really soon." So he thought he had totally bombed it. And then it turns out the gospel choir like kept singing, and then people kept hanging on, and then people started coming back. And after a while, people never left, and they just stayed there like all night for several days on end. And people in the university started realizing, wait, something's happening here. I went on the second day, and what I noticed were people that were there that were students, that when I'd ask them questions about their spiritual commitments, et cetera, they're very, very open and sensitive in ways that they would not have before. Mm-hmm. So it was just this kind of gentleness of the Holy Spirit settling down. And to be honest, Eddie, it was rather ordinary. In other words, there was nobody like doing cartwheels down the aisle and running around, et cetera. I've been to places like that.
Yeah.
This is not one of those.
One time or another.
And this is not one of those. But it was just, there was some preaching, there was some reading of scripture, a lot of confession, and people would come down and just ask for prayer. And people would confess things that they normally wouldn't just openly do on a college campus. So the day that I was there, and I went several days, but the first day that I was there, one guy stood up and he just said, "You know, I confess that I've been more concerned about your opinion of me than God's opinion of me. And my actions are more dictated by what you all think of me than what God thinks of me. And I'm confessing I've fallen into this performance trap, and I'm not going to allow that anymore. I'm going to follow Christ wholeheartedly." And then others would confess things, like one lady stood up and said, "I confess my hatred of all men." Like, whoa.
Mm.
One guy said, "I confess I have been angry at my mother for 3 years."
Mm.
It would come down for prayer, come down for anointing. There were some, like a prayer team that was developed. One of our PhD students was training people and doing prayer team. And there were some, you know, exorcisms and other things, but that was not really front and center. Mm-hmm. You know, it was all very, very normal. And after a while, people started flooding into Wilmore, a town of about 2,000 people, and you get 50,000 people there. And people waiting in line to get to the chapel for 6 hours at 1 a.m.
Mm.
So the line kind of went around the street and up towards the soccer field. And then the seminary eventually opened our 2 chapels for the overflow. Those were filled. So they opened the cafeteria for live stream. That was filled. And then they opened up the gymnasium. So it was just this like incredible type of thing where you walk around and just realize like God is doing something that is just not humanly made.
Mm-hmm.
There were some Christian celebrities, so to speak, who offered to come. And the universe said, "No, this is really a spirit-led, Holy Spirit guided and student led activity, and we don't want to take it out of their hands."
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it just proceeded that way. And there was no like excellent worship leadership, no excellent like preaching per se, et cetera. it was just something that God did and just brought a refreshment to the community.
There were probably some folks that came with some bad plans, perhaps, would we say. How did all that go down?
That's a great question. Yeah, as you suggest or imagine, after a while, there were some people that wanted to disrupt, both on the far left, far right, and even like the LGBTQ movement wanted to be disruptive. All three of those groups, when they came in, they had an intention to, like, I don't know, destroy and disrupt. All three of those groups, people came to faith, and they just basically walked away and said, man, this is real. I don't want to disrupt it, which is rather incredible, you know? Yeah. So that was just a blessing that God intervened in their lives.
So we're on a sabbatical, but we're like, you know, I think I'm going to make it over to the campus.
Yeah.
It was quite something to see, I'm sure it sounds like, and it's been exciting to hear you share about it. What's happening now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was just on campus this afternoon, and I asked, well, I'm like auditing a class because I just like to learn stuff, you know, and one sabbatical, auditing a class on investment.
Yeah.
So it's not like theology or mission, but it's just fun to learn. Anyway, I've been tracking with some of the students there and asked one of the students, how's it affected you now? He said, well, it has changed me. I can't quantify it, but things are on the outside looking more like normal than they ever have before. In other words, they haven't had, as you can imagine, they had to bring in like a whole lot of porta potties and have some fencing and, you know, beef up security because you got people there like 24/7. All that is gone, right? So things on the outside looking more normal. But my own experience and what this student was communicating, at least I think, was that there's this sense of peace that's come upon people. It's actually put fire into my prayer life because a lot of this, there was a student from Asia that came here 2 years ago and just prayed, walked up and down the street with placards on the front and back for 2 years. He said that God had called him to come here and pray. And then he left, I think, in September to some ministry in New York and realized when this revival hit, he came back, that perhaps this has laid the seeds for this type of revival. So it's been a just to kind of putting new fire into my own prayer life. Of course, it's affected the churches nearby where it just reminds us why we're in ministry, why we're doing what we do. And just, you know, gave more fuel in the tank.
Right. And has spread to some other places as well. We'll hear from time to time about other campuses and other areas. So it's exciting to see and hear what God is doing. You mentioned earlier a little bit about the celebrity pastors or, you know, kind of celebrity Christians, if you will. I'm wondering, what are some of the lessons perhaps that we can all take away from what has happened there?
Yeah. So, you know, I coach church planters, and one of the things I've told them out of this is that you don't have to be the super magnificent preacher. You don't have to be like or have the best worship team ever in order to have your church plant blessed by God, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and grow. So, if anything, I think this movement shows that this is a work of God that we just welcome, but it's not based upon human effort. It doesn't require like celebrity efforts and, you know, magnanimous preaching and worship, et cetera. I think I also mentioned about prayer.
Yeah.
I know a lot of several South Korean pastors that pray 2 hours a day as part of their job description, you know, for the church. I don't know any American pastors that way.
No, it's true.
But at the very least, this should be like a wake-up call. We shouldn't rely upon 5 or 10 minute prayers. What if we extend our prayer lives to 30 minutes a day, an hour a day, or whatever, to just allow God to put more fuel, you know, into that fire? And I think another lesson from this is just the reminder of the Great Commission, that this is what we've committed our lives to, whether you've been a missionary or you're teaching or you're in pastoral ministry, whatever. But this is worthwhile. This is making a difference. This really matters. So the work we do, even though it may not be easy at times, this is really making a difference in people's lives. And you just never know when something's going to just break. It could be in an ordinary moment. It could be even when you feel like you laid a stinker, like you really messed up that message or ministry or whatever. That could be the opportunity where God can produce something.
That's wonderful, knowing that he thought he had laid a stinker, and then all of this happens, and maybe that's the way, you know, that was God working. Like, no, it's not that. It's like, it's something else. And then these folks that wanted to kind of be a disruption, so many of them coming to know the Lord. So it wasn't that we overpowered them or in any way. They just saw God really at work, and it changed. It ended up changing their lives. And it's wonderful, Jay. Hey, thank you for sharing with us, and thank you for what you guys are doing there at Asbury, and for letting others participate and know about that. We really appreciate that, my friend.
Wow. Well, thank you for having me here. And yeah, I pray this is just actually the beginning of things that will happen. In the end, there is a cost to it. I mean, like, it basically overwhelmed the whole city. The administration, you know, of both schools, the university and seminary. And whatever you thought you were going to do for those 2 weeks, your job description totally changed, man. You know, but, you know, that's disruptive, and like, that's part of it. So, but I just pray that this continues. At the very end, the last night, it coincided with a collegiate day of prayer. And it was there was a commissioning type of service, which was really powerful. And our prayer is that this commissions people to, like, around the world, think about what would it look like if we didn't put any barriers in our obedience to faith in Christ? What would that look like? And how can we align our lives in those patterns so that if God wants to bring a revival in us or through us or around us, we're ready for it to receive it and cooperate with it?
That's great. Thank you for sharing, Jay.
You bet, Eddie. Good being with you.
Thank you for listening in on the Better Together podcast. If you know of folks that would benefit from this podcast, please take it and share. Remember, every little thing we do helps. And we kind of heard that a little bit today. So let us be working together, because we truly are better together.